Roth Radio. David Lee Roth here. I'm sitting with my very special friend, Stan the Man, discussing classical roots. How are you, Stan?
Good, Dave.
And I'm sitting with my extra, extra special guest, my sister, Lisa. How are you, Lisa?
I'm doing well.
Brian, say hello to the world, babe.
Right.
He's got that tone, baby. He's playing along. And tone is what we were talking about. We're reviewing the first Queen album. Mm-hmm. This comes from 1973, you said.
Yes, they
recorded this. Actually, I just graduated from high school at that point. The Van Halen band was still rehearsing in a garage that we had built, okay?
Wow.
We literally gutted the studio, okay? In fact, it looked a lot like this.
Oh, is that like those pictures I see in magazines of all the amps like hanging out in the corner with all the empty soda cans and stuff on the floor?
That was the clubhouse. We called it Studio B so that you would make the assumption that somewhere was Studio A.
Oh, okay.
Well, we were pretentious already. And there were a number of albums that we would use because we were just starting to play in clubs, okay? Mm-hmm. And as we were beginning to create our own music, you know, and doing original, we also had a list of over 200 other people's songs. It was everything from James Brown to Queen. Everything from Ohio Players to Get Down Tonight, okay? Yeah. Everything from ZZ Top to name it.
Matter of fact, I got a couple of bootlegs of early Van Halen. He's doing cover songs.
You are the bootleg king. I'm only going to tolerate this because I'm wearing a counterfeit watch. Anyways, we're discussing the first Queen album, and Stan had brought up the sound of the guitar. This is something that most people don't reflect on, but that you are completely responsive to. I'm going to play the third track here, just the beginning of it, and you tell me if this doesn't sound where Eddie wound up 15 summers later or however long this was. Listen to the sound of this axe, and this is just one guitar playing through the exact same amps that the Beatles played through, those little Vox amps that they stacked up a big wall at Shea Stadium. Check out the sound of this. Go, Hutch. You hear that bone? You hear how that thump goes? There's like an overtone there.
Right, that percussive tone.
He's using the palm of his hand, okay, of his right hand that holds the pick. You strike with the pick and then hit it with the palm of your hand. It deadens the string, but it gets that overtone. It goes...
Right.
Like that. And we used that as a trademark sound throughout our recording career together in Van Halen. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and play that one more time from the top there, Hunch. And this was always the dramatic intro, too. You got to have something's coming. Engines are coming. Go ahead, play, babe. Tension. He's using his thumb. Here, listen.
There's also another little trick that he uses, and I think it has to do with his tone. He uses an English coin as a pick. He doesn't use a regular plectrum.
Well, we always try to carry a few coins in our pocket in case the tickets don't sell. You get a new white suit and a bus ticket home. But he's using a metal coin, right?
He's using a English pence, I believe, or some kind of English coin. I know Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, he uses a peso.
A peso note?
Yeah.
A peso coin.
Yeah, a coin.
This is not so unusual because the fella in ZZ Top always gets that squeak sound. Also,
right,
he's using a coin.
Right.
Eddie used a coin for a long time and then switched over to a metal pick.
Metal pick,
using some kind of an aluminum pick. Go ahead and play the next tune there, Hutch. Going down through the first Queen album. I'm David Lee Roth, my special guest, Stan the Man. We reviewed the Stones last time, so we're bouncing around. Stan said, Dave, what is the stuff that you guys used as your working template when we started? This was the kind of music, remember when we first started listening to this kind of stuff, that this wasn't considered cool at the very beginning?
Oh, definitely not. Yeah, because I was just talking to you about that, catching a little flack from, you know, because back then in the 70s, matter of fact, the first year that I heard this, 74, Deep Purple, the California Jam, Black Sabbath.
That was all tough guy
music.
That
was all, yeah, you know. And then when I played the Queen for my friends, they were like, what are you listening to?
Oh, who would even want to watch a band that
had
four
guys? But then
when
they heard the guitar, they kind of like, wait a minute, there's something here.
Well, they caused everybody to question right away. Four guys in a band named Queen?
Queen, yeah.
Right off the bat.
The picture on their album covers, too.
Sure.
You know, they look real feminine. No.
But look, they saw the future, huh?
Yeah.
They created something.
Definitely.
Has there been anybody since Freddie Mercury to your ear, Stan, that has captured this kind of a clarity of imagination?
No.
Nothing.
No.
Play the next track there, Hutch. Go for it. Backwards guitar?
Yeah.
See, it sounds like orchestra. No. Oh, we all used to do that. The human siren.
Sound like Made in Japan, right?
Well, this is how you knew that you could sing. You would go as high as you possibly could. That's how you dignified who was the better singer.
I thought it had something to do with the tight pants.
No, this has something to do with Wizard of Oz. Listen.
Now, this was one particular song where I caught the flack.
Turn it up.
But listen to the title, My Fairy King. That's awesome. That's
okay, awesome. You know what? This is where Freddie spun out, okay? This is where Freddie went off into Tales of Hoffman, which was a very famous British movie with all these treacly high, you know. It's like Wizard of Oz when the house lands and everything goes into color and everything is, I don't have those hormones. I don't have the muscle that makes that. Next track up there, Hutch. Go ahead. Bang on it. We're listening to the Queen album, the very first Queen album from 1974. Everything was supposed to be ambitious. Everything was supposed to be unpredictable. Fireworks. Pyro. That sounds like the beginning of a sports show in 1974, right? A lot of people have gone on to imitate. Play one more track off of this here. One more time here. We're listening to the new Queen album. This should have been the new Queen album.
Right?
How would the fellow from Free actually be able to sing any of this kind of material?
I don't think they do any of this early stuff, if anything.
They just do the hits?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I don't think they do any of
it. I can't imagine him doing that. Didn't Paul Rogers just get out of rehab? Just play the last two. Go play one more time. Again, adventurous. Making an adventure. They're making an ambition.
But go to track 7.
Is that the last one? Play track 7. We'll do this one for the last one. We're listening to the first Cream album. We're doing album review here. And Stan had mentioned, you know, do something that is your original impulse, your original inspirations and stuff. And this is one of the first records that I reach for here.
Right.
It's one of the few records I reach for. This is my initial impulse that wasn't black. In fact, Queen doesn't even sound vaguely black. Even Robert Plant, the guy in Led Zeppelin, sounds black at times, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating where we wind up. Go for the last one here, Hutch.
Punk.
We'll be right back. There's that sound.
Yeah, good driving.
You imagine the band. Today, when you hear rock bands playing, you don't imagine a band playing at all. Follow? Do you have Kevin Federline's track?
Sure.
Go ahead and spin that up here. Because Stan, do you like Kevin Federline?
I'll be honest with you. I don't even know who he is.
Okay, Stan. Well, we're going to help you to it. This is him.
This is K-Fed? That's your son? I don't hear any early Van Halen influences there, that's for sure.
Well, actually, spiritually, Stan, there are quite a few early Van Halen. As far as Kevin Federline's spiritual mindset and his larcenous disposition, there's a lot of classic Van Halen inspiration in there. You don't hear a band, is the point. Not that you have to always hear an ensemble of people playing, but at this point now, what's popular now is a construct of the, let's call it the machines of production. And there are people who can do that, okay? You've had Brian Eno, and the Talking Heads did this, And there are a whole number of people, that we can discuss who are popular. Natasha Bedingfield works the machines of production, but there's always a song in there.
Right.
You heard it yesterday when she was singing.
At least there's a guitar in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And on the record, a lot of times you can't tell that there's a guitar. It means that the songwriting stands up. Turn up Kevin here. Go ahead. That genius, I do shout. I just send it for Rosa. That genius, I do shout. I just send it for Rosa. Well, like Grandma Roth used to say around Christmas, if you got a skinny little tree, you're going to need a lot of tinsel.
Is he white?
Who are you pointing at?
Kevin. K-Fed.
Yes, he is.
Oh, okay.
I can't
believe he doesn't know who he is.
Why would you have to know? Because he knows who Brittany is, and he knows that Brittany is married, right? And that's the half.
Oh, that's her husband?
See?
Oh, okay. The other half of Brittany.
There you go. The lesser half, huh? Are you a Britney fan?
No, my daughter is.
How old is your daughter?
13.
Okay. And does she own the records? Do you buy the records for her?
Yeah.
Okay. And how many records a week does a 13-year-old girl buy these days?
Wait a minute. I hate to say this. Stop.
I didn't say turn Kevin off. Thank you.
Okay. I hate to say this, but I actually don't have to buy anything for her anymore because now she downloads music.
And does she pay for it or is she stealing it?
I guess stealing it.
Well, sometimes the apple never even leaves.
I know, right?
Never even leaves the tree. Like I said, I'm torn between this. I don't want you stealing my songs. On the other hand, I'm wearing.
Yeah, but I'm not stealing them. I'm paying for them, actually.
Well, but I'm wearing a $14 bootleg Bulgari watch that I bought in Chinatown. The taxi cost more than the car, than the wristwatch here. So I see both sides of the coin. What other kind of material is she buying these days?
Well, she could listen from anything from Britney Spears to, what's that, there's a band, Cradle of Filth.
See, I'll match you. You don't know Federline? I don't know Cradle of Filth.
Oh, that's a band you got to say.
Hum a few bars.
Is it
hummable stuff?
No, it's a cross between sort of goth, like metal, like, vampire-ish sort of stuff.
Well, that's kind of what Kevin's doing in the background there.
I think the singer has all these piercings, and he wears, white makeup. It's really wild.
Okay, I can dig piercings, okay, ornamentation, whatever, but I have seen pictures now of what's popular, and it looks like somebody was running across the room with mom's jewelry case.
Yeah, I don't even know how he opens his mouth.
And he trips. I brought this up about Axl Rose. I love tattoos, tattoo work, the art form of tattoos, but, for example, Axl looks like he fell asleep on a park bench in Central Park, and it rained. And some kids came up and glued jujubes and dots all over him.
Connect the dots.
Yeah, and they dried. And he woke up after a bad party in New Jersey when somebody wrote something on your forehead.
Yeah, right.
And he didn't notice for 14 years. Is there anybody we haven't slammed today?
I was going to say.
Stan, thanks for dropping by.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Can we review Cradle of Filth the next time that you come back Will you come back?
Do you really want to do that?
I would love to.
Okay.
And I would like for you to get with your daughter, your 13-year-old daughter, and have her mark off the top three cuts. And please, if you could share with us what she feels is the impact.
Okay, I'll do that.
Of why she likes those tunes. What is it that speaks to her about it? What are we listening to in the background?
Hear that, Darian, if you're listening.
This is Queen, Seven Seas of Rye from the same album.
But I want Cradle of Filth.
You mean you don't have a Cradle of Filth CD in collection?
We'll find one for you, Dave.
Something tells me it's right around the corner. Stan, thanks for joining
us this afternoon.
Roth Radio, we are truly a Cradle of Filth, and I am your celebutard. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
Roth, 6 a.m.
Live in the studio. Are you actually making it sound backwards intentionally? Play backwards. Go ahead. Brian Young on the guitar, Roth Radio. New York, Philly, Dallas, you know where. Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, and we're worldwide, davidleeroth.com. By the way, guys, Kevin Federline is calling up at about 9 o'clock, and I understand he has an issue with being called K-Fed. This was not his invention. And from what I'm reading here on Thursday, something.com, a hip-hop website, briefly interviewed Federline about Popo Zhao. Hey, that's Portuguese. Filosofia em português. You know what Popo Zhao means?
No.
I wonder if he even knows what it means. It means big butt. No, really, it's like ancha larga in Espanol. It means like wide load, but you use it to mean kind of the same thing.
I'm gonna
ask him on the air. Por que falo suficiente português para falar com você? I know it enough that I know what that means. You like a good popozão, huh? Animal. A little junk in a trunk.
Yeah.
I wonder if he even knows what that means.
Well, I've heard his single. Have you heard it?
Well, hold on. His debut single is Popozão, and its forthcoming untitled album, that's probably going to be the name of it, after the interviewer called Federline K-Fed several times, the Fresno, California native had apparently had enough. I don't like K-Fed, said Federline when asked what artists he didn't like. Why don't you like K-Fed, replied the .com interviewer, and Federline's response, a telephone dial tone. So I guess we should avoid K-Fed. I am D-Row. Lisa, what are you going to call yourself?
I don't know.
This is an opportunity for you to touch stardom. You're talking to Kevin Federline.
Well, if it's not being used, I'll use K-Fed.
All right, turn off the mic. I got to have a talk with her.
Oh, God. One of those.
Okay, come back. Here we go. He's going to get on the phone. What would be your first question for Kevin Federline, Lisa? This is my sister, Lisa Roth. What would be your first thing for Kevin Federline?
Well, I would like to know how he got into this business.
The business of what?
What did he do? I want to know what he did before he was an illustrious musician.
Wait a minute. I think Hutch is having a fit. No, he's acting out.
He's dancing. He was a dancer?
No, he's an epileptic.
You know what?
I've
developed more sign language during this show, and that was a really good one. It's a whole body sign.
You look like the Scarecrow from Wizard of Oz.
Right.
What? Wrong movie. I think that Kevin was Britney Spears' backup dancer.
Really?
This is the same highway that J-Lo took, you know, a lot of these guys. Madonna got involved. Well, she at least got involved with a trainer, and I think she got involved with one of her backup dancers.
Okay, did Janet that's Jack- believable.
Did Janet Jackson? That's a hell of a thing to say on morning radio.
Don't nobody fall in love with the bodyguards anymore?
Well, look, when the music's blaring and the bodies are moving, it's very sexy.
Well, right there, see, Madonna did fall in love with one of her bodyguards, the fellow who's an actor. The fellow who played the bad guy in Man on Fire and a number of other things. He's a good actor. Okay. What's his name? He's Puerto Rican, I think. And it was her bodyguard and trainer. So, yeah, Animal, that still exists. That potential still exists.
I thought I was obsolete. I'm sorry.
No. Come on. You know, dying age. If you get anywhere near Paris Hilton, if she gets a load of you, she's going to be all over you like a cheap suit in August, Animal.
Oh, man. I better go back to the gym and tighten up some more then, huh?
You're going
to
have to peel Paris Hilton off of you like a bumper sticker in August, man. And I'm not going to help you. I'm going to simply be supportive. And I'm going to point and direct. Roth Radio. Anyway, Kevin Federline is going to be calling in about his new album, Popo Zhao. And that's actually the debut single. He doesn't speak that language, does he? Where do you think that comes from? Probably the producer is Brazilian or something.
Well, I'm sure it's very hot.
Isn't the Neptunes, aren't they Brazilian or something? Don't they come from Sao Paulo or something like that?
No, but it seems to be the riff now. Du jour.
Well, it's way tropical. We've now moved through reggaeton and we've moved through tropical and, you know, Puerto Rican music, you know, as we know it to be. And that's probably the next thing, right? Brazil is hot stuff. That's sexy, sexy. Oba, oba.
What goes around comes around.
Maybe we should call you Oba, oba.
Oba, oba?
Remember the dance troupe from Brazil? You know, those gals with the little G-strings and everything?
I'll take that.
Oba, oba, oba. I think it's Brazilian for hubba, hubba. Roth Radio. Anyways, Kevin's going to be calling in at 9 o'clock here, and I'm going to dovetail a couple of news stories here. Buttafuoco. I always thought that was a fake word. I thought that was Sicilian for, well, never mind what I thought.
But I thought it was a verb.
It is. like in the act of Buttafuoco.
Got it. Or Portuguese.
Could be. Buttafuoco. Buttafuoco and Amy Fisher planned the TV reunion. More than a decade after 16-year-old Amy Fisher had a sex relationship with a much older car mechanic and shot his wife in the face, the one-time Long Island Lolita and Joey and Mary Jo Buttafuoco have agreed to appear together in a televised reunion. Is this a series or just one-shot reunion? Does anybody know?
It's a one-off, I believe.
Yeah, but I'll bet you it's a pilot for a series, right? Move them all together, or at least position them around the same tract housing. Anyway, let me finish here. All three have signed on for the appearance, which has yet to be sold to a network. It's only a matter of time. Television producer Dave Kreft told the New York Post for Monday Editor, "It's just time to put it behind us," Fisher, now 31, told the paper. "We played this all out in a public eye. It'll be interesting to let the public see the healing process at the end."
I don't think that will make for good television. I don't want healing.
I don't want healing either. I want conflict. I want fireworks, etc. And do you think this is going to... What's happening here? Because Buttafuoco went back to his wife, right?
Yes.
Okay. Are they still together? Are they? Because
no.
I've seen them out together.
No, they're not. They're divorced.
Okay.
She's re-engaged, I think. Lives on the West Coast. Yeah.
Okay. Is he going to go back to Amy now? Now that she's 31 and she's had time to think it all over and, you know, on the exercise yard. Is he now kind of angling back to get her back in the room? What do you think?
I believe Amy is now married and has children.
And what, she needs the cash? So they're going to do this?
I guess. It's all about television. Everybody's on television.
No, it's all about embarrassment. We sell off great slices of our own personal embarrassment for money, right?
Or fame.
I've seen Joey and his wife, this was a number of years ago, but they were out and about like regular celebs. Do you think they're celebutards?
I don't know. What do you call the notch beneath that?
Celebutard, the small bus.
Celebutardites.
Celebutardies.
Celebutarditas.
They're that's actually something that you might order uptown at a Mexican
restaurant.
We're
back to Portuguese.
Celebutardita. That sounds more Spanish, actually. I bet you Joey winds up back making the sign of the three-fingered ceiling Mexican squat with Amy. That don't try that without a note from your heart, Dr. Hutch. You need a note from a cardiac surgeon licensed in the state of New York to do the three-finger reverse Mexican ceiling squat.
Wow.
And I think that Joey is going to do that with Amy. No?
No. No, I okay. see him. I see him posturing and playing the anger, and she done me wrong to the hilt.
Really, you don't yes. see a great healing in the. You don't see a great healing in the future where no, there's a great bonding.
No,
in honor of world peace, right?
My take is that the man is ego driven. Period.
Well, I'm not here to save the world. That's Bono's job. But I do believe that others can make a small contribution. Okay, what happened with Eminem? And his wife, Kim, remember there was a whole scenario where
yeah,
he's,
what is up with that?
They he got a divorce,
yep.
and there was a major conflict, and he was bad mouthing her during some of his songs. You know, talking about how he's going to pull her arms off and beat her up and do whatever. No, it was seriously strong
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I heard some of that on his album.
What did
stuff,
it sound
man.
Like, Animal?
Oh man, he was like calling everything but the child of God, man. And now they back together. I don't get the twist, but
well, the twist is rehab, and that's his new video. He gets up in yeah. front of AA, you know, or yeah. for him, well, for me, it would be Alcoholics Unanimous. And, he's, and he stands up in front of AA and, you know, and he says, I got something I want to share. And then he starts the rap song. And it's all, you know, I regret and I'm full of remorse and my wasted tracks that led me up to here. But you saved me and now I realize it parts 1 through 12. That's actually the title, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, something like that.
It's wait, least, didn't the singer Kelly do a something parts 1 through 12?
Mm. R. Kelly.
R. Kelly.
That
R. Kelly.
Was Out of the Closet parts
oh,
1 through 12.
Out of the Closet.
Okay. That, was an that was an actual...
That's a different... kind of 12-step yeah. program.
Yeah. 12 years
actually,
old.
I feel happier than R. Kelly at recess right now. I feel like it's all in front of me. We should talk about R. Kelly at some point
love
down the line.
Yeah, I would love to talk about that. Yeah.
Boy, oh boy.
When's I don't know him personally, but I know some of the dogs that roll with him, so I contact him, get a little inside dirt.
Is he married? Has he got a wife? Is he got a permanent thing going on there?
I don't know, man, but like one of my homies used to tell me that... he would hire staff, and the staff might have some younger daughters or something, and they would, you know, prune him up because they knew he liked these young girls. You know, just trying to get a meal ticket type thing.
So
you know?
Wait, is R. Kelly, though, does he have a wife? Does he got a girlfriend
I
who's steady?
I don't know, but I can find out.
You should find out because that's an obvious political move.
Dave, he was married to Aaliyah.
The
she
gal.
Died in the plane crash, right?
This was the gal who was in the...
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She was married to her, but that was... See, she was like, what, 14
she
when
was
she
very
married
young.
Her?
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, she
that.
Was 14. Yeah.
So what happens? You get married, you get divorced, you let him age like cheese, and then you go back, right? Did I get this wrong? I am a relationship god, okay? I'm a relationship
god. Yeah, we need
god.
To talk about marriage sometime.
Look, you've had 20 years of nutrition. Yeah. I've had 20 years of relationships, okay? And they're about as sour as most of what you want me to eat for breakfast.
Yeah, right? You use that term loosely.
Roth Radio, I'm going to go get some breakfast.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
Roth, 6 a.m. Roth Radio, I'm the deputy of love, baby. David Lee Roth, live in front of your naked, steaming eyes. My special guest, my sister, Lisa Roth. How are you, Lise?
You shouldn't talk like that around your sister. It's unnatural.
It's unnatural. Animal.
Yeah, yeah.
Who of you guys is an American Idol fan? You like American Idol?
Yeah, I used to love it.
What happened?
It got a little old.
Predictable?
Yeah. I still like to tune in when it gets down to about the last five.
I like it when there's scandal. Yeah. I like it when there's conflict or trouble. Or what's her name on the show?
Paula Abdul.
Paula Abdul, yeah.
She was squeezing that kid, right?
Yeah, she was
supposedly.
Squeezing him.
Okay, well,
allegedly.
allegedly is good enough for me. That made me tune in. And there's behind-the-scenes difficulties. What are you reflecting on, Animal?
I said, you know she did it when she made fun of it, remember? When it came public, she started going on there making fun of it. That's a bad sign.
Telltale
that you
sign,
did it.
Huh?
Yeah.
Thou doth explain too
I
much.
I have to say, though, I tuned in to the first episode, which is where they audition the really bad people.
Sure.
And I was watching her interact with the really young, cute guys. I was like very tuned into it after that. Yeah, and you were kind of cringing and going, please don't go over the line. Mm. Like when a good-looking singer would serenade her and hold her hand.
Uh-oh. There was chemistry.
You got a little tense.
There's chemistry. Anyways, American Idol. The Fox talent show elicited a response from the Gay and Lesbian Alliance against defamation after judges Simon Cowell and Randy Jackson made what gay rights groups deemed questionable comments on last week's premiere episode. Did you see this, Lise? Did you hear this? What was the comment?
I don't remember exactly, but I think Simon Cowell asked a very effeminate contestant if he was a woman.
Here we go. It's on Tuesday's show, seen by a Nielsen chart topping 35 million people. Wow, just close friends, huh? Cowell told one male contestant to wear a dress,
and Jackson asked
another, "Are you a girl?" The real offense here was in the producer's decision to add insult to injury by turning a contestant's gender expression into the butt of a joke, says somebody from the from GLAAD, which is the Gay Alliance, whatever. We've spoken with Fox and have entered into what we hope will be a productive ongoing conversation about the show's representation of sexual orientation and all the usual rigmarole. So, what are you pointing? What do you got?
Oh yeah, I've got that right here.
Tell me
something interesting about yourself.
That's necessary, is it?
No, come on.
Something interesting about me? Well, I'm a very talented person, and people confuse me for a girl a lot of the times, which I think is so funny, because I just laugh my butt off all the time.
Are you a girl?
No, I'm a guy.
You are?
I go into the men's restroom all the time, and the guys look at me like, are we in the wrong bathroom? I'm like, no, I'm a guy. I stand up just like you do.
Stop right there.
Wow.
That's an actual guy.
I saw it.
Why do you use the word it?
No, I saw the episode. Don't put words in my mouth.
I didn't. I just reiterated it.
I saw the episode.
And that was an actual guy. You're absolutely sure.
It was an extremely effeminate young man.
And he had an Adam's apple and everything.
Yes, he did.
And when he
a little muscle t-shirt with a scoop neck.
And so was this a guy who brought this onto the channel? You feel expecting that people would overlook this, or was he wearing it on his sleeve, so to speak, and this is his card, his raison d'etre, his entry card? What do you think?
Oh, I think he walked in there knowing it.
He walked in there knowing what?
That he was going to get attention for it.
Go ahead, you want to play another thing?
Yeah, this is where he gets kind of annoyed about the fact, and he starts to accuse him of prejudice.
Okay, go ahead.
Typical thing, American Idol fits America, and America is prejudiced and racist, and God, I wish I could hit him, but
okay.
I think it's totally prejudiced to not accept someone because someone's a boy and they're singing girl songs, and they don't fit the song in the vocal range of the girl.
I think
that's total prejudice.
This is a girl's voice. I completely understand why somebody would even ask that you were going to go step in front of that many trillions of people with a sound like that, and you're saying that his appearance was super feminine, correct?
His appearance fit his voice, and he said himself he gets attention all the time in real life, never mind with the cameras. He goes in the bathroom, the male bathroom, and he gets looked at.
Okay, and he grew up as a boy?
Yes, he did.
And he still signs male. When it says sex, he writes, I always write often. But
well, the last time we spoke, David, and got to know each other, he did mention, no, I don't know.
Oh, you didn't know him?
Didn't know him personally.
This is a very interesting case, because I think the judges probably called his card and said, hey, this is so obvious. We're going to pretend that there's no elephant in the middle of the room.
Exactly.
And what, he's now complaining that he was treated unfairly? Did they dismiss him from the competition, or what happened?
Well, he couldn't sing.
Oh, well, that's a small little detail when you're a vocalist. You know?
I believe he sang a Whitney Houston tune. I'm not sure.
Oh, they all do that with the high note.
And I will always love you.
Should we judge that panel?
Painfully. I can't do it, obviously, but that's the note they go for. You always sing that Whitney Houston song because it's got the big barrel house note on the chorus. And every little gap tooth trailer girl and every wannabe soulster and every Mahalia Jackson mama wannabe and everybody goes for that high note. That's got to be the song that he reached for. And you're saying that the voice was no good?
No, he wasn't good. He was not good.
Maybe it was the wrong song. What if he sang something like vaguely Japanese?
Dave, the guy couldn't sing.
Okay, so he's upset and he's blaming his lack of talent on, he's playing the sex card or the race card or whatever you call that, right?
Yeah,
I guess,
like.
Yeah.
What do you think, Animals? Does that sound like a woman to you?
Yeah, it sounds just like a woman to me, but hey, he's a guy, but you know, I don't want to touch that one with a.
Well, no, this is guys. This is like something that comes out of the East German swim team back in the 60s. Here, you almost want to take a litmus test. You know, yeah. There's got to be some kind of a test there because I'm going to question. I'm going to question. I don't know nothing about gender or whatever. I don't know nothing about his particular sexual preference, but I know showbiz really well. I'm a scary judge of showbiz, and I'm going to guess that that's not a guy. I'm going to guess that that's a girl who decided to create a major conflict, and here we are 3,000 miles away and how many hours later discussing it like it was the Magna Carta. You're on. Go.
I disagree. You didn't see the acne pattern on his face.
Well,
it screamed testosterone.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering.
Hormone
if,
shots.
Is this guy exactly? is this guy going to be now doing a promotional tour or something? Is he going to be?
He might be one of those. Another. Who is it? Hung. What was his name?
William Hung. Hung.
William Hung.
She bang.
She bang.
Well, no. William Hung sang the who did She Bangs originally? Ricky Martin. Okay. Well, Ricky Martin is probably closer to this guy who was just on just on the American Idol show, right?
Yeah. I think the controversy is, was it mean-spirited of the judges? And, you know, I mean, where do you weigh in? Where's the line? The guy knows what he looks like. He goes on an international show. He knows what television is all about. You're bound to get slammed.
Of course. Do you have the exchange one more time there, Hutch? I want to hear now. Okay, we listened to his voice. Now I want to hear what Randy sounds like. I want to hear what the guys as they ask the questions here. Go ahead when you're ready there, Hutch. You good to go?
Yep.
Here we go. This is
Tell
from
me
the
something interesting about yourself.
Dude, that's necessary, is it?
No. Oh, come on.
Something interesting about me? Well, I'm a very talented person, and people confuse me for a girl a lot of the times, which I think is so funny, because I just laugh my butt off all the time.
Are you a girl?
No, I'm a guy.
You are?
I go into the men's restroom all the time, and the guys look at me like, are we in the wrong bathroom? I'm like, no, I'm a guy. I stand up just like you do.
Wow.
I think they're being very supportive. I think they played back. I mean, there's so many obvious jokes that you could have made there, right?
You play to the cameras.
I think the fellas were being, I think they were being genteel about it. Now they're taking flack. I think this is somebody who saw an opportunity to create a little conflict because you know in your heart of hearts if you can actually sing or not. Don't tell me that William Hung knew he could sing or actually believed that he had something to contribute. Don't tell me that this individual, if you're saying that the voice was no good, don't tell me this individual didn't know that this was like a trip to the gong show. When the biggest winner of the day is the one who gets the loudest gong, correct? I mean, that's a sort of a win-win kind of situation. For some. It's like the Jamaican bobsled team in whatever Olympics that was in the 80s.
Right.
They never went there thinking they were going to compete. Not legitimately, but they gave it their best. And who had the best T-shirt at the end of the day? The guys who came in dead last, who had never seen snow before they even showed up.
Right. And the first month of the Idol episodes is nothing but this. This is now what American Idol is all about, the first month. It's all the contestants edited together, mostly the losers.
Like the outtakes at all of your favorite comedy
Correct.
Movies when they show the stuff that didn't fit into the storyline. But those scenes are routinely the most funny moments. You don't even
Right.
read the credits. And this is the greatest hits of what we know as the Gong Show.
Right. And so, of course, the panel is going to play that to the hilt. And like you said, can you imagine someone like that coming in, auditioning, and nobody saying anything?
Oh, no, you do what they did in the very beginning. Everybody goes, because the pretense is that nobody's supposed to notice. But it's like I say, you walk into a room with a live albino elephant and know everybody's going to pretend, okay, nice pet. We have a phone call on this. Michelle wants to talk to me.
She just dropped off.
Did she just drop off?
Oh,
anybody
Michelle.
Wants to talk about American Idol, 866-313-3733. And don't go away because we've got somebody who could have actually been on American Idol, Kevin Federline, right?
Yes. Yeah.
He comes from a generation that is very much based in this kind of a thing, right? Was his girlfriend was in the Mickey Mouse Club?
She was. Oh, yes.
Totally. Brittany comes right out of the Mickey Mouse Club. I wonder if Kevin was Disney informed?
Could be.
I think he was in the Goofy Club.
Did they? No, knock it off. Don't make fun of my guests. I'm going to make fun of your accent.
Oh, no.
K-Fed is up around the front bumper of our culture. He's going to be calling in at 9 o'clock. But in terms of what happens on American Idol, how far did Kelly Clarkson actually go? She got like number one records now, right?
Yeah, she did well.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie? Oh, I have like three times. Justin loves Kelly.
Oh, that's right. Whatever happened to him?
Oh, oblivion. You know, people disappear. What happens to somebody like that? He's probably on another reality series, do you think?
Yeah, probably.
He just disappeared. Mm-hmm.
He's got to marry up like Kevin did.
Yeah, he was a cutie pie, but he couldn't sing.
God, there's always that small little
flaw.
There's
always a catch, Dave.
Just a catch. There's always a catch with Roth Radio. Don't go away. Are we going to have our break and then come back with Kevin? Is that what's going to happen?
Kevin's going to call us, I believe, so we'll find out when we get back.
He has my number.
Al Dukes is nodding in the affirmative, so it looks like we'll have a call from Kevin.
Roth Radio, a true touch with stardom. Probably right after this.
David Lee Roth, mornings.